invite you to remain standing as I read from the gospel lesson for today found in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And I read this portion of God's word in Jesus' name. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' For he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you that though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is a friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gracious prayer promises. We thank you, Lord, for the Lord's Prayer as well, that guides us, that helps us in our praying. Lord, you've offered so many gracious promises regarding prayer, but so often we neglect them. So often we think, "I don't need to pray. Everything's going fine." Lord, help us to be convinced that you desire fellowship with your people and that you graciously invite us into your presence. And you tell us to cast every anxiety upon you because you care for us. Lord, help us to take you at your word. Help us to believe your gracious promises. And Lord, help us to understand and trust in your gracious character as well. We pray your blessing upon each one of us as we look into your word this morning. Be our teacher and our guide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If I were to take a survey this morning and ask, how many of you are regularly attending a worship service? Quite a few would probably say, doing pretty well there. It's pretty steady, pretty regular. If I were to ask, how many people are regularly partaking in the Lord's Supper? I'm sure many, if not most, would say, "I'm regularly partaking in the Lord's Supper." And if I were to survey and get a little bit closer to home, maybe say, how many of you are regularly reading God's word outside the walls of this building? How many take your Bible and open up and read and study? Maybe the numbers would go down. I have some hands up already. All right. And if I were to say, how many of you pray on a regular basis? Or if I phrased it this way, of those four areas, church attendance and participation in the Lord's Supper and Bible reading and prayer, if I were to ask, which is the weakest area in your life? There might be some exceptions, but most often, from my mouth and the mouth of many other Christians, "I don't pray as often as I should. I don't pray as often as I should." And I won't give an answer to all the reasons, all the excuses we have. But sometimes people will say, I just don't have time. I don't have time. Could I ask, raise your hand if you don't have 24 hours in a day in your life. Anyone here? Okay. Raise your hand if you don't have too much to do already as it is. We all have 24 hours. We always have too much to do and too little time to do it. Martin Luther said about his own prayer life, on the days that for him were the busiest is the time that he needed to spend the most time in prayer. And you know what? For me, my natural thought is just the opposite. Oh, I don't have as much time because I'm too busy. Sometimes I don't have time. Sometimes people say, well, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. A lot of things we do, whether we feel like it or not. Maybe a bigger question would be, do I have need of it? And another question, do I have gracious and precious promises that invite me to come before the throne of God boldly because of the blood of Christ? We know, we recognize, we have three enemies in this world. We have the devil or Satan. Does he want us to pray? Of course not. Of course not. He doesn't want us to rely on God's resources. He doesn't want us to cast our anxiety on the Lord. We have the world, the philosophy of the world that would say, why waste your time? Prayer doesn't do anything. Do it yourself. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. And we have our sinful nature, our flesh, that says, oh, I'd rather sleep in, or it's a good time to go fishing, or anything else rather than praying. And I wonder if for most of us, in our lack of prayer, if the part of the problem isn't a lack of desperation. We have more than we need every day. Why do I have to pray about what I need every day? It's already here around me. But when the bottom drops out of life, that's when we realize, I need to pray about this. I need to go to the Lord about this situation. Starting in verse 1, as we look at this portion of Scripture, we see the Lord's prayer and the Lord's promises. We see the request. And my application today, the application is in the main points. And I'm speaking this morning to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I know that a non-Christian doesn't have a desire to pray because that's foreign to who they are. At least foreign until they get to that place of desperation and call out for God's mercy, God's grace, God's forgiveness in Christ. But especially words addressed to believers today, request of Jesus what the disciples requested. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Request what Jesus' disciples requested of him. We see, first of all, that Jesus himself prayed. Jesus himself prayed. Jesus was totally dependent on the Father. He modeled that. And he motivated, by his example, his disciples to say, we want to learn. We need to learn how to pray. And they said, just as John taught his disciples, so we want you to teach your disciples. We want you to teach us. And we can this morning, in our prayerlessness, say, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. It's not that the concept is difficult, but sometimes we don't recognize our need. And sometimes we take for granted God's gracious promises. God already knows what I have need of. It's not about what God knows or doesn't know. It's partly that God says, I want you to see your dependence on me. So we pray for our daily bread, what we have need of day by day, not just food, but everything that we have need of. Verses 2 through 4, repeat what the disciples of Jesus repeated. Repeat what the disciples of Jesus repeated, the Lord's Prayer. And I know that there are Christians that will say, you know, we don't pray the Lord's Prayer just by rote. A lot of churches will do that. We do that almost every Sunday here. We pray the Lord's Prayer. We don't need to repeat a prayer again and again and again. And here's what I would say. In the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke, the wording is a little bit different, but both are true. We have the Lord's Prayer as a model prayer. One of my friends, I saw his prayer list, and he took the different petitions of the Lord's Prayer and used that as the motivation to pray about whatever that area would cover. I thought that was a very good idea. Matthew, Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew said, when you pray, and then pray in this manner, the Lord's Prayer. In the Gospel of Luke, inspired by God's Holy Spirit, Luke said, quoted Jesus as saying, when you pray, say. So is the Lord's Prayer a model? Or is it a prayer to repeat? And I say, yes. It's not an either or. It's a model. How do I pray? Use the Lord's Prayer as a springboard in your prayers. But also use the Lord's Prayer because of its simplicity. It covers what we have need of on a regular basis, not only for our physical needs, for our forgiveness, recognizing that we seek to honor God's name, that God's name would be kept holy among us day by day and moment by moment. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, or may your name be holy. And Luther in the Small Catechism says, of course, God's name is holy all by itself. But in this petition, we pray that God's name would be kept holy among us. Your kingdom come. Our petitions are not just, this is what I want, but it's about God's name being advanced, that God's salvation be declared here locally, but to the uttermost parts of the earth. We pray for God's kingdom to continue to expand, that more and more people would come to faith in Christ. We pray for missionaries, that God would use them in whatever task God has called them. But we pray that God's kingdom would expand. I hope we don't have the mentality when we come together, well, it's a good thing that I'm here just with my friends and my neighbors aren't here because they might spoil it here at church. Oh, let them spoil it. If they can hear God's word, let the babies cry. Let kids who don't know how to behave well in church, let them come to hear God's word. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Again, showing the model of that prayer, that each day I can pray the Lord's Prayer. Because each day I have needs. And my daily bread is not limited to food, not limited to that kind of food. When we were little, sometimes when my aunt and uncle would come over for a holiday, my uncle would use terminology a little bit different, but instead of saying, let's pray, he'd say, let's say grace. So, of course, the little cousins would always say, grace. You know. Anyway, we never got tired of that. I'm sure everyone else did, but we didn't. We don't pray when Jesus said, pray for your daily bread. We don't just say, okay, give me my daily bread. But it's including everything that I need, all the material needs that I have, all the spiritual needs that I have. God knows what those are. God knows what they are. And we can go into as much detail. God never gets bored with that. God's willing and gracious and willing to hear. And we pray, forgive us our sins. Again, in the context of the Lord's Prayer, we can pray this on a daily basis because we pray daily for our needs. We pray daily for forgiveness of sins. Not by anything we can earn or deserve, but because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's my boldness for coming before the throne of God's grace. Not what I've done, but what Jesus has done on my behalf. That he has opened up that way. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. That forgiveness of sins that God shows to me in Christ, spills over in how I deal with other people as well. Of course, it's easier when someone comes up, even then it's sometimes hard, but someone comes up and says, I'm sorry I hurt you, please forgive me. Makes it a little bit easier to forgive them. But when they don't even say, I was wrong, please forgive me, sometimes we say, okay, I'll just wait until that person's ready. No, we forgive them. Not because they deserve it, even as we're forgiven in Christ, not because we deserve it, but because we have that need and because they have that need. As much of it depends on us, we're told, be at peace with all men. And lead us not into temptation. And God, we read in the book of James, is not tempted, nor does he tempt. But we pray here that God would keep us from that time of temptation. And as we face temptation, that he will help us to say no. Say no to what is wrong and evil and against God's word and God's will, and yes to that which is right. Request what the disciples of Jesus requested. Teach us to pray. Repeat what the disciples of Jesus repeated, that is the Lord's Prayer. Going on to verses 5 through 8, resist giving up in times of difficulty. Resist giving up in times of difficulty. Oh, it's too hard. I'm going to quit praying. Or you know what? God's not answering that prayer, so I'm going to stop. And Jesus told a story to encourage us, to motivate us, to help us during those difficult times. And I look at the story and I break it down to four basic parts, and not a lot of complication here, but the first part is, I have a need. Jesus said, suppose one of you has a friend. Again, the implication, there's a good relationship there, and goes to him at midnight. Midnight. You don't bother people at midnight. People are sleeping. You don't disturb them. But that's the idea of the story. It's an awful time. If it's a good time, it wouldn't be inconvenient. At midnight, he goes to his friends. Lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a long journey and I have nothing to set before him. Midnight. In whatever culture that's offensive, it's not a good time. Don't be obnoxious. Don't be rude. And so we have the answer here in verse 7. I can't help you right now. Friend says, I have a need. The other friend says, I can't help you right now. From inside, he answers and says, don't bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Answers, sorry. Come back tomorrow. Come back at a convenient time. And then the appeal, I need help right now. Verse 8, Jesus said, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because of he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, because of his persistence. And I believe it's the King James that says importunity. The idea is not as much persistent as a shamelessness. I can't believe you're doing this. You're asking me at midnight for some bread? Come on. But he keeps on asking. It's a persisting in the face of all that seems unreasonable and a refusing to take a denial. The answer is no. Well, let me talk about it a little bit. I learned something that can sometimes be good in the Brazilian culture. It can also embarrass your wife if you're married. And in Brazil, a no is usually not a no. It's saying, in other words, you just have to ask a little more forcefully or a little more persistently. So someone would say, no, that's not possible. And what you have to do, and it takes a while to learn this, but isn't there any way, could we do it? And when I came back to American culture, someone would say, no, the store's closed. Oh, well, and then I try and kind of take the no and turn it to a yes, and my wife would have to remind me, Dave, we're not in Brazil. It doesn't work like that in this country, and it's hard to get that out of your mind, but here's a good place for it. We ask no. Think about the woman who asked Jesus to heal her daughter. And he said, no. And she didn't accept that no as a no. And his no was very harsh. Why should I feed the bread to the dogs? And that would be normal for a Jewish person to talk that way about the non-Jews. But I think he gave a little glimpse of hope that the word dogs he used was puppies. And the woman said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And Jesus commended this woman for her faith. There was a boldness. There was a persistence. There was a not taking no when God really wanted her to persist. I need help. I can't help you right now. I need help right now. And Jesus said, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So the answer in the end was, I will give you help right now. And sometimes we take this story, and I know I've done it as well, and we think, okay, we just need to keep asking from God until he says yes. Just understand, Jesus is saying, this is what we can do with our friend. This is what we can do. We can be rude and obnoxious sometimes and say, I really need help right now. All right, I'll help you. And Jesus is not saying, this is how your heavenly Father is. He's showing, this is not how God is. You have to twist a friend's arm sometimes to get done what needs to be done. And you don't have to do that with your Father in heaven. Verses 9 and 10, rest in his promises. Rest in his promises. We have some very simple promises here that we know, we sing about, we teach to our children, but we forget. We forget. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. That's like a blank check right there. That's pretty nice right there. Ask and it will be given to you. Of course, always we understand in the context of all of Scripture, if we ask for something that's dangerous, that's bad for us, that's against God's will, God will not answer that. But he tells us to ask and it will be given to you. And the idea here is keep on asking. Keep on asking. Don't say, well, I asked once and God didn't answer the way I wanted, so I'm never going to ask again. I'm never going to pray again. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, keep on seeking and you will find. Knock, keep on knocking and it will be open to you. He said, for whoever asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. And then in the last few verses here, we see reflect on God's character. Reflect on God's character. God is not like the friend who said, it's inconvenient, talk to me later. God's not like that. That's not the takeaway from the story that Jesus gave us. Reflect on God's character. And here is the contrast that Jesus gives. Here's the distinction and the separation. Verses 11 through 13. Now suppose, talking about sinful, a sinful earthly father gives good gifts. And we know there are people that are unkind to their children, and those are unusual and exceptions. We see it and say, how could any father treat his children like that? We're surprised at it because it's not a normal thing. He said, now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? And I know there are some fathers that are practical jokers that will do things. But if there's a real need, Dad, I need a Band-Aid, I'm bleeding. It's not a time for a snake in the can. You know that there's a need. The request for a fish, I'm hungry, have a snake. Or if he's asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? Here, son, play with his scorpion. It's a lot of fun. No, even a sinful, earthly father won't do that. Jesus said in verse 13, if you then being evil, literally is the idea, you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. all of us by nature are sinful. And even the best earthly father has a sinful nature. But Jesus said, even an earthly father with a sinful nature is going to be kind to his children, will provide for their needs. And then Jesus says, how much more then will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more then? And the implication is, you are sinful by nature. Your heavenly Father is holy. He's not sinful. If you're willing to give good things to your kids, we can't even imagine how gracious God is and how much he wants to give us what is good for us, what is good for those around us. Reflect on God's character. He gives his very best gifts. Again, I'm not saying a best gift if we pray for a car, that it's going to be a 2014 and whatever model that you like the best. God doesn't always give those kinds of gifts, but he gives more important gifts. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And in the Gospel of Matthew, again, I believe there are different times, but repeated stories in some cases based on the context. But Matthew said, your heavenly Father will give you good gifts. Matthew quoted Jesus in there, giving good gifts. And Luke is saying, the best gift is the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, Luke quoting Jesus. And we might think, you know, that's not what I want. I'm not asking for the Holy Spirit. I'm not asking for his filling and equipping and guiding and empowerment. I'm asking for this toy over here. And God wants to give us the best, what is his best, but also what is best for us. More than anything, for those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, what we need is not the things around us. What we need is God's Holy Spirit to empower us, to help us live the Christian life. The Holy Spirit is the greatest gift that we can receive. God is willing to give salvation, forgiveness. He's willing to pour out upon us his Holy Spirit. And by implication, if he gives us the greater, more important gifts, he'll give us the other things that we have need of. Similar to the idea in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. God is willing to give the greatest and the most important needs that we have need of to be fulfilled. So are we going to think, well, God won't give me the food that I need for the day? Of course he will. Because he's given us the best and greatest. He won't withhold from us those things that are needful, even to the point of giving us this day our daily bread. God is gracious. You don't need to twist his arm. You don't need to say a certain number of Hail Marys or a certain number of words, or you don't have to have a certain time set aside. The time is good, but in the sense of some people I've heard emphasize, well, you have to pray for an hour, or you have to pray on your knees. There's a chorus in Portuguese in Brazil that people will sing, and it always irritated me. If you're not praying on your knees, it's not going to work. What? What in the world? You know, you can stand up, you can kneel down, you can sit, you can lay face down on the floor. God hears. God knows your needs before you even know what they are. But God is gracious, God is merciful. He's given us his Son so that by faith in him, our sins are forgiven. He poured out on his church the Holy Spirit. Still empowers Christians with his Holy Spirit. And Jesus invites us to ask for the important things. But he's also promised that God will provide for all of our needs. It's not an excuse not to pray. Well, God already knows what I need, so I don't have to pray about it. God knows what you need of have need of, but sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't. And he invites us to pray, to bring those petitions before him. And sometimes as we pray the Lord's Prayer or reflect on it, we might say, you know what, I guess I do have these needs that I didn't even think about. I guess I do have this need of forgiveness and a need to be able to forgive someone who has hurt me, sometimes hurt me deeply. I have need of many things. And sometimes the circumstances of life God will use to bring us to the point of saying, you know, this is way out of my control. Not as if all the other things weren't, but sometimes we get to the point where we say, I'm in way over my head. Unless God works, there's no hope. And it's not a fun place to be in that sense. But it's exactly where we need to be, even on a daily basis, that we look to God to provide for our needs in every area. Even where we say, but there's enough money in the bank, I don't need to pray about money. We do pray that God would lead and guide, that God would continue to provide for our needs, for the needs of our families. We even pray for our enemies, especially that God would forgive them and grant them repentance and faith in Christ. We can pray, whether we feel a need or not, because God invites us to bring those things to him. We have enemies. We have Satan. We have the world. We have our sinful nature that war against us, that distract us and draw us away from that time with the Lord in his word and in prayer. But what would be one of the most important things that we could do on a regular basis? Communion with God. To worship him, to pray to him, to read and study his word, to fellowship with God's people, to receive and lean on his gracious promises. And knowing that God is good, we don't have to twist his arm. We don't have to say exactly the right words, or else he's going to say, nope, you didn't get it right that time. Try it again 10 more times. God is gracious, God is willing. And even the Holy Spirit helps us in our lack of knowing what or how to pray. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. Everything to God in prayer. Amen.